Thank you very much for coming. We were on the towards the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Beis. The last discussion that we saw was about the question of if blood is thrown onto the altar to the wrong spot, does that create atonement? It certainly doesn't permit the meat to be eaten. Maybe it does not create atonement, but even if it doesn't create atonement, maybe once it's on the altar, it can't be scraped off the altar to be put back onto the altar. It's not like, even though it's the wrong spot, and the wrong spot is not like the right spot, it's still the altar. So it did get onto the altar to some degree, to the point that you can't scrape it off to re-put it on. We are, I guess, about nine lines before the Mishnah. Amar Reb Elezer. Reb Elezer says, Mizbeach hapnimi megadish psulin, that if something is disqualified for it, but yet it went on to the inner altar, now it won't come off. My kamashman, what's the point of this? This is what we already learned. Tanina, we learned in a braisa. Hanitanim bifneim shenasen bachutz. Things that are supposed to go on the inner altar that ended up on the outer altar. Or nitanim bachutz shenasen al mizbeach hapnimi. Things that should have been on the outer altar that went on to the inner altar. Once their insides go up onto the altar, they don't come down. And even Rabbi Yehuda agreed to that. So apparently it's not considered as if it was spilled on the floor. And even though blood that's supposed to be on the outer altar that goes inside gets disqualified, so let's consider it as if it went onto the floor. We don't say that, apparently, because once the blood went on the inner altar, it gets sanctified. And it's considered that there was a zrika. So you see that the inner altar sanctifies disqualified things. So Gemara says it's not a proof. If it would have been the braisa, maybe that's only true if it's blood that goes on the inner altar. Since blood is something which is fitting for the inner altar, I would have thought that if blood went onto the inner altar, that's when it gets sanctified. Let's say a person took a fistful of flour into the inner altar. You never have flour on the inner altar. Blood sometimes you're supposed to have, but flour is never supposed to be there. Same alos, maybe a fistful of flour that goes into the inner altar doesn't get consecrated. Kamashmalan, that's the Chiddush of Reb Elazar, that even flour on the inner altar gets consecrated. Once it's there, it's not going to be taken down. Meisve, I'll challenge you. We learned Ktores Zara, let's say a person donates Ktores, which also got the Mizbeach, and it's brought onto the inner altar. Tevet, it's taken off. The only concept of something consecrating that which doesn't really belong, something which is disqualified, is about the outer altar with things that are really fitting for it. So chitzon in, the outer altar is what consecrates things, but pnimi lo, but the inner altar, it's saying it does not. So that seems to be against what you just said. So Gemara says, tritzach, you have to change the braisa. Read it like this. Ktores zara, ktores, which doesn't belong to the outer altar, because Ketores never goes on the outer altar. Shalom is be'ach hachitzon, if it was put onto the outer altar, Tevet comes down, Shem is be'ach hachitzon, l'kadish psulin el ha-roi lo. The outer altar will only consecrate things that are disqualified, if these are things that are in other contexts appropriate for the outer altar, whereas Ketores is never appropriate for the outer altar. V'apnimi, and then the Braisa is saying, whereas the inner altar, bein roi lo, even things that are not fit for it, bein chein roi lo, like a fistful of flour, once they go on the inner altar, they go up and they don't go down. My time, what's the reason why the inner altar is more powerful in terms of causing things to get accepted? Hai ritzpah, the outer altar is not really a vessel. The outer altar is part of the floor. It was never consecrated as a vessel. But the inner altar is klisharis, is a ministering vessel. The inner altar was consecrated with the anointing oil as a vessel. So since it's a vessel, it has a higher level of sanctity. Since it has a higher level of sanctity, that's why it has this chiddush, that anything disqualified that goes on to the inner altar is now consecrated, and now it stays up and it doesn't get taken down. Okay, that completed that discussion. Now we're going to go into a very important discussion. We've seen this referenced several times before, but here finally we'll get to the background for this law. We're going to learn now about the concept of pigel. Pigel is a hard concept to wrap the mind around, but it's the following. If in one of the four major acts of service, the slaughtering, the catching of the blood, the walking of the blood, or the throwing of the blood, the person who's kasha to do those acts of service, while doing those acts of service, has a thought that there will be consumption after the time. In other words, either that the blood will be thrown, or that the insides that are supposed to be burned on the fire will be burned, or the meat that's supposed to be eaten will be eaten at the wrong time. Let's take a karban shlamim. A karban shlamim, you're only allowed to eat it that day and that night. But let's say when he's walking the blood, he's saying out loud, I'm walking the blood with the intent to throw the blood in order to eat the meat of this karban next week. So he's planning a consumption at the wrong time. Or it could be, I'm walking the blood with the intent to throw the blood tomorrow. You're supposed to throw the blood right away. That's also a consumption at the wrong time. Where I'm walking the blood with the intent to throw the insides into the fire next week. So when there's an intent of consumption at the wrong time, that creates a disqualification in the karban called pigel. And once it's pigel, it's disqualified. Anyone who eats from a pigel karban deserves karet.
So,
during shechita, during slaughtering, because that's what he's allowed to do. Yeah, question.
Is it just does
he actually say it? He says it. So that's pigel. Now, something similar but different is that if there was an intent of chutz limkomo, an intent of eating it at the wrong spot, wrong place, let's say eating it outside of Jerusalem, then the karban becomes pasul, becomes disqualified, but if you eat it, there is no kares. Pasul, it's disqualified, ve'ein bo kares, but there is no kares. So this Mishnah is going to teach us that concept. Hashochet es hazevach, somebody who slaughters a sacrifice. Either lizrok dama bachutz, to throw the blood outside of the temple, outside of the azara, outside of the courtyard, O miktzas dama bachutz, even with the intent to throw some of the blood outside of the azara, of the courtyard, or lahaktir emurav bachutz, to take the insides that are the limbs of the carbon that are supposed to be burned in the fires, things like the fats that are over the kidneys, and the fat over the liver, right? All the different pieces, the insides that are supposed to be burned, all the insides of the ola, all the parts of the carbon that are supposed to be burned. He has an intent to burn those pieces. Bachutz, outside of the courtyard, or miktzas emurav bachutz, or part of those pieces outside of the courtyard. Or le'achol besaro bachutz, with the intent to eat some of the meat of the karban outside of the place where you're allowed to eat it. So a chatas has to be eaten in the azara. A shlabim has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. His intent, his declared intent, was that there was going to be eating of it outside of Jerusalem or outside of the azara. O kezayas mibsaro bachutz, or even just an olive worth of the meat outside. Or, and this is going to be the key discussion today, le'achol kezayas me'or ha'alya bachutz. If his intent is to eat a kezayis, an olive worth, of the skin of the bushy tail, the sheep, that when, and, you know, you bring a sheep as a karban for Pesach, you bring a sheep for a shlamim, the sheep has a bushy tail. So if his intent was to eat, not to burn the tail, but to eat a kezayis of the skin of the tail, so outside of its place,
raw.
It doesn't matter. His intent could have been to cook it. Also,
pickled tail.
It's also fine. It's very, very soft. It's edible. So if his intent was to eat it outside of the right place, so his intent is not to eat at the wrong time. His intent is to eat at the wrong place. So the wrong place thoughts create pasul. It's disqualified. Vein bo kares. If he does eat it, there's no punishment of kares. But liz rokdama lamachar. He slaughters the animal with the intent of throwing the blood at the wrong time tomorrow, or even niktas dama lamachar. Part of the blood he's intending to throw at the wrong time tomorrow, or lahaktire murav lamachar. His intent is to burn the insides, the parts of the carbon that have to be burned, at the wrong time. Omitza semur of lamachar. His intent is to burn part of the insides at the wrong time. Leachol b'sara lamachar. His intent is to eat the meat at the wrong time. O kezayas mi b'sara lamachar. Even a olive worth of the meat at the wrong time. Leachol kezayas mi ora alya lamachar. His intent is to eat a kezayas, an olive worth of the fat of the tail, the skin of the tail, the next day. To eat of the kezayas of the skin of the tail the next day. So now thoughts of the wrong time of consumption create pigul. And then if somebody eats from any part of this karban, chayav and alav kares, they deserve the penalty of kares, they get kares.
Rabbi, what happens if any of these four or five conditions happen by accident? Okay?
Still.
You know, like the pitcher in baseball, okay? It throws the ball, he points and throws.
All right, still.
And sometimes it goes off the fender and hits the
catcher. It becomes pickle.
Even by accident, it
doesn't matter,
pickle.
Yeah.
He doesn't get carbon.
Uh-huh.
Someone who eats by mistake has to bring a carbon chatas. Any sin that deserves kares done by mistake has to bring a carbon chatas.
No, but I'm saying, like, the Kohen, splash the blood, and instead of hitting it here, by accident it hits on this side, or up, it hits down.
But here we're not talking about that it was done out of place. There was a thought to do it outside of Yazar.
No, the thought is correct. He wants to do it right here, but by accident, the blood falls.
But that's not the case of the mission. The case of the mission is where he's planning. He says, I'm going to burn these pieces down the mountain. I'm going to throw the blood tomorrow. That's our mission.
I'm just saying any of these actions that he wants to do it rightfully by accident.
All right, so that's what we were seeing till now, that there's an opinion that anywhere on the altar ultimately works.
It doesn't need two witnesses.
Thought is worse.
Well, no, once we hear it, that's it.
You thought everything correct.
Yeah.
But once you throw it here, by accident, comes up here. You know?
True.
You know?
So, we're going to now have a discussion about the tail. Do you have a picture there about the sheep at the tail?
Yeah.
That's nice good.
Tail.
That's helpful.
Nice
fatty
tail.
That's right. Some animals don't have such a bushy and fat tail. The goat, for example, doesn't have the same level of tail. So we learned in the Mishnah that a plan to eat from the skin of the tail out of place would disqualify, and a plan to eat of the tail out of time would create pigul. Svarua, the sages thought that or alya kealya dami, the skin of the tail has the same status as the fat and flesh of the tail. Now, the fat and the flesh of the tail of the sheep actually gets burned on the altar. So now that's an interesting situation. If it has the same status as the fat and flesh, that means it's really supposed to be burned on the altar. And yet the Mishnah says his plan to eat it in the wrong spot or to eat it at the wrong time as the status of any consumption in the wrong spot or the wrong time. But he's thinking from the consumption of the altar to human consumption. He's planning to eat. It wasn't that he was planning to burn the skin of the tail in the wrong spot or to burn the skin of the tail at the wrong time. That sounds very interesting. That you can, if you have, we've been talking about consumption in the wrong time or thoughts of consumption at the wrong time or thoughts of consumption at the wrong place. So we said that there's consumption of the altar, there's consumption of a person. We didn't see, though, that you could go from one to the next. Here you see you can go from one to the next. Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel said, Hamani, who is this Mishnah? Yeah, it's Rabbi Eliezer. It's the view of Rabbi Eliezer. To Amar, who says, Machashvin me'achilas mizbeach la'achilas adam. That a thought, a disqualifying thought about something which should be eaten by the altar, and the disqualifying thought was about human eating of this item, or me'achilas adam, if you have something which should be eaten by a person, and instead there was a disqualifying thought about its consumption by the altar, it's also disqualifying thoughts. L'achilas mizbeach. It's not, as we learned in a Mishnah later, Hashochet es hazevach, someone who slaughters a sacrifice, lechol, to eat, out of place or out of time. Davar she'ein darko lechol, things that are not normally eaten, but rather things that are normally burned, let's say the fat over the kidneys, or lahakdir davar shein darko lahakdir, let's say his intent during the slaughtering was to burn in the wrong time or in the wrong place, something which is not normally burned but something which is normally eaten. Let's say the meat, the steaks, he's planning to burn the steaks on the altar at the wrong time. So kasha, then that's not a thought that disqualifies according to the Tanna Kamma, because it's about this thing. This thing anyway is not supposed to be burned on the altar, or is not supposed to be eaten. However, Rebbe Lezer says it does get disqualified, that he thinks that consumption, even though it's supposed to be consumed in one way, and so the normal classical case of disqualification or piggle would be to think of that consumption in the wrong time or place, but this is also a form of consumption. So even though he's thinking to consume it in the wrong way at the wrong time or at the wrong place, it has the laws of chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo. So the Gemara says, "B'mayu kimta, how are you explaining the Mishnah? Rebbe Lezer, like Rebbe Lezer. So Ema Sefer, now read the end of the Mishnah. The next Mishnah is on Chavtes. The next Mishnah on tomorrow's blot says, Ze'aklal, this is the rule. Kol ha'shochet v'makabel v'amolich v'azorek, anyone who slaughters or catches the blood, or walks the blood, or throws the blood, with the express intent, le'achol davar shadarko le'achol, to eat something which is normally eaten, like the meat, or lahakdir davar shadarko lahakdir, or to burn that which is normally burned, like the insides, out of place is disqualified, out of time is pigel, and there's a punishment of kari. So what did the Mishnah say? Davar shadarko le'achol in. If the thought was to eat that which is normally eaten, in other words, to eat basar in the wrong time or wrong place, but she'ein darko le'achol, but things that are not normally eaten, let's say he's thinking to eat fats that are normally burned, and he's thinking to eat them at the wrong time or wrong place, lo, it doesn't get disqualified. So 1 second. So the next Mishnah is Asan the Rabbanan. The next Mishnah, the end of this Mishnah, is the view of the Rabbanan. You can't transfer a wrong thought from one service to the, you know, from one form to another form of consumption. So Reish Rebbe Lezer v'Sefer Rabbanan, you're going to tell me the first Mishnah is Rebbe Lezer, saying that even though we're talking about something which should be burned in the fire, the skin of the tail, nevertheless, if his thought was about eating the skin of the tail, even though it should be consumed by fire, but his thought was about consumption by human eating, that also creates pigle. And then the next Mishnah is going to say differently. So yeah, so Shmuel said yes. Amar Leyin, it's not such a problem. The first Mishnah is Rebbe Lezer, the second Mishnah is the Rabbanan, and then in the next parak we're going to see the views of Rebbe Lezer and the Rabbanan. That's answer number one.
But they skinned them off before they put them on the fire, right?
Yes. Right? Now, answer number two. Rav Huna says, Or alya lav ka'alya dami. The skin of a tail doesn't have the status of a tail. So when the Torah says that the tail is burned on the fire, that means the fat of the tail, the flesh of the tail, not the skin of the tail. The skin of the tail is never burned on the fire. So the skin of the tail has the status of basar. It's a davar shetarko lechol. So when the Mishnah says he has intent to eat the skin of the tail in the wrong place or the wrong time, makes sense because it's something which is supposed to be eaten. Amar Rava said, my time with Rav Huna. What's the reasoning of Rav Huna? So the answer is because it says about the burning of the pieces of the sheep. V'ikriv mizevach Hashem mishel Hashem chelboho alya tmima. When it says chelboho alya, means the fat of the alya, right? The fat of the alya, the fat of the tail, v'lo or alya, but not the skin of the tail. So the skin of the tail is never something which goes on the altar. So it's not as if he has a plan to consume by humans that which should have been consumed by the fires. It's something which always can be consumed by humans. Answer number three, Rav Chisda Amar. Rav Chisda said, "Lo'olam or al yakal yodami." Really, the skin of the tail is the status of the fat of the tail. And just like the fat of the tail is burned in the altar, the skin of the tail is burned in the altar. So now, why does our Mishnah say that there are disqualifications for the plan to eat the skin of the tail in the wrong place or at the wrong time? Hachab mayaskinan. Here, what are we talking about? Baalya shel gedi. We're talking about the skin, of not of the tail of a sheep, but the tail of a goat. The tail of a goat certainly doesn't go onto the fires of the altar. That certainly has the status of meat, which gets eaten. So now, why did these Amoraim give different answers? Kulu. So why did the others not say like Shmuel? Why didn't the others say like Shmuel that the skin of the tail really should be going into the fires, and nevertheless, the thought about eating it in the wrong time also disqualifies, because this Mishnah is like Reb Elezer, and the next Mishnah is going to be like the Rabbanan. So the answer is, Kulu Kishmuel Ami. They didn't say like Kishmuel. Because Reish Reb Elezer, but say for Rabbanan, lo mukmi. It doesn't work well to say the beginning of a Mishnah is Reb Elezer, the next part of the Mishnah is the Rabbanan. The Mishnah usually is consistent. All right, so that's why they didn't like Shmuel's answer. Now, Kulu Rav Huna lo Ami. Why didn't they say like Rav Huna that the skin of the tail does not have the status of the fat of the tail, and the skin of the tail is always eaten by humans? They don't think that. Or they think that the skin of the tail does have the status of fat of tail. So they didn't want to say that it's eaten by humans. No, it's supposed to be eaten in the fire. Now, why didn't they say like Rav Chisda's answer, that here we're talking about the skin of a goat? So the answer is, because my kamashmalu, what would the point be if we're talking about the skin of a goat? That the skin of a sheep, or alya ka'alya dami, to say that, what's the point? That skin is edible, skin of a tail. Tanina, that we already learned in a Mishnah in Chulin. Ve'elu sh'orosei en kivsaran. These are skins that are edible, and therefore they can become tamei. Or shetacha sa'alya, the skin that's underneath the tail. So we don't even need a Mishnah to tell us this. Rav Chisda will tell you, no. It's Chayni two Mishnayos, one about Karbanos and one about Tumah. Maybe in regards to impurity, the skin is considered a food because it's soft. But here in regards to Karbanos, since the Torah says Lamashcha, that Karbanos have to be a source of glory, that means L'gdula, it has to be for greatness, because the word Lamashcha is like the word anointing. K'derech shamalachim ochlim, Karbanos are eaten the way kings eat. And there, v'lo avdim l'achim da'achli hasam, hachi, maybe kings don't eat skins of tails. So that's why I think that a skin, even of a goat, is not edible to people. That's what we have to say, that the skin of a goat is edible, it is glorious, and therefore the thought of eating the skin of the goat in the wrong place, at the wrong times, creates disqualification. Now, Meisve and the yeshiva, they challenged Rav Chisda. We learned, Hashochet es ha'ola, if a person, in a brisa, somebody who slaughters a carbon ola, with the intent to burn a kazayas, an olive worth of the skin that's under the tail, out of its place, pasul vein bo karis. That makes the carbon disqualified, but there's no karis if you eat from it. Chutz lizmano, if the thought was to burn a kazayas of the flat of the skin that's under the tail in the wrong time, pigle. Now the carbon becomes pigle, v'chayav an olav karis, and if you eat from it, you're chayav karis. Elazar ben Yehuda ish avelim omer mishum Rabbi Yaakov. Elazar, the son of Yehuda, the man of avelim, says in the name of Rabbi Yaakov, v'chenir mishum ben Yehuda ish kfar ikus om mishum Rabbi Shimon, echad or beis haparsos, both the skin from the knee down of a behema dak, of a thin animal, a thin domesticated animal, v'echad or arosh al egel arach, or the skin of the head of a young calf, Ve'echad or shetachas alya, or the skin that's under the tail. V'chol shemanu chachamim gabei tuma, and all those things that in regards to becoming impurity, we say are foods, all these skins, that elusha or sein kivisaran, these are the skins that have the status of flesh. Lahavi or shalbesha boshes, including the skin of the womb of a female animal. All these skins have the status of flesh, and therefore, with the intent to burn them in the fires, chutzlim komo, out of the place, pasalim bokaris, chutzlis mano, out of the time, pigul. The chayavan olav karis. It's pigul and your chayav karis. And now this is all about an ola. So it sounds like from this braisa, ola in regards to an ola, thoughts about burning the skin in the wrong place create a problem. Zevach implying other karbanos like a shlamim lo. Then not. So Bishmal Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna, who holds it the skin of the tail does not get burned. The skin of the tail gets eaten. Saina diktani ola. So I understand ola is different because in the ola everything gets burned. El Rav Chizda, but according to Rav Chizda, that the skin of the tail is like the fat of the tail, and it gets burned. So then, my iria diktani ola. Why is this price only talking about ola? It should also be listeni zavach. Should also be about shlamim. Amalacha Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda will tell you ibayaseima. If you want, I can tell you like this. This price is talking about al yashel gdi, like our Mishnah. This price is talking about the skin of a tail of a goat. And the skin of the tail of a goat is not normally burned. It's only in the ola that it would be burned. By the same alternative, I could tell you, Tani Zevach, or change the Braisa. Why do you think that the Braisa is talking about an ola? The Braisa is talking about a shlamin. And it's saying that the skin of the tail gets burned in the fires. And since it gets burned in the fires, if there was an intent of the wrong place, it would get disqualified. Intent of the wrong time, it becomes pigul.
That way, how many shechitas they used to do in Beit HaMikdash?
A lot.
So many rules and regulations that have to be perfectly perfect.
Yeah, that's great. It
takes a long time in a small space like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they couldn't do hundreds.
No, they did millions, maybe hundreds, thousands. There are lots of, all the Jews are coming with their karbanos.
Rabbi,
So now the Mishnah talks about the concept of machshava chutz l'mkomo, a thought of out of the place, and a machshava chutz l'zmano, and a thought of out of time. Inan imili, how do we know the laws of the Mishnah that a thought of chutz l'mkomo disqualifies, and a thought of chutz l'zmano disqualifies so much that there is a penalty of kares from eating it? Amar Shmuel explained, Trei krayi ksivi. There are two psukim. So one is about chutz l'zmano, the other is about chutz l'mkomo. Mahi, what are the two psukim? Amar Rabba said, it says in Parshas Tzav, V'im he'achol yo'achel mi'psar zevach shlamav b'yom ha'shlishi, lo ye'ratze, ha'makriv oso lo ye'chashev, lo ye'chashev lo, pigul yiyeh, v'anefesh ha'ocheles mimena, avona tisa. So in that verse, Bayom HaShlishi, on the third day, is a reference to Zeo Chutz L'zmano, a thought of eating it on the third day, a thought of eating it at the wrong time. Pigul, then when it says it's disqualified, Zeo Chutz L'mkomo, actually that's talking about a thought of the wrong place. And then it goes on to say, V'anefesh ha'ocheles mimena avonat tisa, anyone who eats from it will carry the sin, namely will get kares. So that's referring to the first thing mentioned, chutz l'zmano. It says, nefesh ocheles mimenu, eating from it, echad v'lo shnayim, eating from it, but not eating from both. So which one is it? Zeh chutz l'zmano, only eating from that which was disqualified with the thought of the wrong time. L'mute chutz l'mkomo, to exclude that which was disqualified with the thought of the wrong place. So asks the Gemara. The Gemara is going to go back and forth. Is this a good pasuk or not a good pasuk? Be'ema, why don't you say hanefesh ha'ocheles mimenu zeh chutz l'mkomo? The soul that eats from it is a reference to a thought where there had been a thought of the wrong place, and l'mute chutz l'zmano, and say that if there was a thought of the wrong time, there is no kares. No mistabra chutz l'zmano. Adif, it makes more sense to say that the verse, the kares penalty, is about the thoughts of out of time. The Pasach Bey, because that's what the Pasach mentioned first. So Well, maybe not. Other rabbis say the opposite. Chutz Mekomod, if say that it's referring to a thought of the wrong place, the Samachle, because that's what's mentioned right before the words of Avonot Tisa, carry his sin. Elam Rabaye, so Abaye says, you know what, maybe we don't use this pasuk at all. Ki asr Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Amar Rav, when Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi came, he brought a tradition from Rav, that Samach HaDetani Kan Tana. Rav would rely on the following, what was taught in a Braisa, from Parsha Tzav. Kishu, when the pasuk says, V'im heyochol yochel bayom ashkishi, pigalu lo yeretzeh. When the pasuk says, if it'll be eaten, this is already another. This is a pasuk not in Parshas Tzav, it's in Parshas Kedoshim. If it'll be eaten on the third day, it's pigul, it's not acceptable. So Kishu Omer, when you have that pasuk of Hashlishi in Parshas Kedoshim to you, when you have that pasuk, Shein Tamud Lomar, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that there's such a thing as a carbon being disqualified with the thought of out of place. We already know that from Tzav. So why do I have another pasuk? Now, in Parshas Kedoshim, so that is needed for a thought of out of place. In regards to someone who actually eats a carbon that is left over too long, that's called nosar, that karban. The Torah there says, v'ochlav, and those who eat it, avonotisa, he will carry his sin, he'll get kares. It says ochlav, those who will eat it. So that's lamute chutzim komo. That's to exclude a thought of out of place, that there is no kares. V'ema, so why don't you say, ochlav avonotisa, zeo chutzim komo. V'lamute nosar mi kares. Why don't you say that the opposite? Say that Noser doesn't get kares, and only if eating from an animal where there had been a thought of out of place gets kares. No, Mestabra Noser, Havle Lukmi, but kares. It makes sense that the verse of Nosar is saying that there is a punishment of kares for eating Nosar. Lemigmar Avon Avon L'chutz L'zmano, to enable us to learn Gzeira Shava. In regards to Nosar, it says, Avon, in regards to a thought of out of time, it says also Avon. So just like the Avon of Nosar is Kares, that's why the Avon of Chutz L'zmano of Pigul is Kares. And it makes sense that the Psukim are setting up a linkage between Nosar and Pigul. The Damile Bezav, because both Nosar and Pigul have two points in common. They both are about time. Pigul is a thought of doing it, or of doing consumption out of time. Nosar is where the animal actually was left till out of the time. And both of them apply not only to the Beis HaMikdash, but they apply to Bamos. When you had altars in the backyard, you could have a thought of the wrong time creating a problem. When you had altars in the backyard, there was no such thing as the thought of the wrong place creating a problem, because there was no such thing as place. Anywhere you could eat it. And when you had, and obviously a thought of the wrong place has nothing to do with time. So it makes more sense that Nosar, which is about time, is going to be linked to Pigul, which is about time, or Pigul, which is about time, is going to be linked to Nosar. Doesn't make so much sense to say that Pigul, which is about time, is linked to a thought of out of place. It has nothing to do with time. So it makes sense that the kares is about nosar, the kares is not about out of place. That could be, because literally means leftovers, or it could be that you were just lazy and you left it and it sat around till the wrong time. So now the Gemara says, one second, Adarabba, maybe the opposite. Chutzim komo avalei lukmin b'kares. Let's say that the pasuk of kares is referring to eating from an animal where there was a thought of the wrong place. Lemigmar avon avon l'chutz l'zmano. And now we'll have to learn the gzeira shava. Avon avon, from chutzim komo to chutz l'zmano. From out of place to out of time, because Noser doesn't have kares. And I'll say the damile, out of time thoughts are similar to out of place thoughts in four ways. B'mikdash, number one, they're both about thought. Number two, they apply to even part of the animal. Number three, they apply when it was during the service of the blood. Number four, both of them, the verse about them uses the word shlishi. So, therefore, we can't say that that pasuk is necessarily talking of the pasuk that says that there's a punishment of kares is referring to nosar. Maybe it's referring to chutzlam komo. That doesn't work with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that a thought of out of place does not create a punishment of kares. El Am Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, Tani Zavdi Bar Levi. Zavdi, the son of Levi, said, the reason why we want to say Ochlov Avono Yisa is referring to Nosar, is it's a pasuk in Kedoshim. Asya, that's based on Gzeira Shava. Kodesh, Kodesh. Ksevachad says here, V'ochlov avono yisak, yis kodesh Hashem chilel v'nichrisa. Those who eat it will carry their sin for having desecrated the sacred of God. Their souls will be cut off. Ksevasam, and it says, V'saraftas anosar ba'esh lo yachel ki kodeshu. Don't eat the nosar, burn it, it is holy. Samalahala nosar, so their kodesh is referring to nosar. Afkan nosar, so to hear where it says kodesh is referring to nosar. Umiyat Rahmana Gabe Nosar Vochlava Vono Yisa, and it says here, those who eat it will carry their sin, eating it, but not something else. So what's it excluding? It's excluding a thought of out of place that does not create a punishment of kares from eating such an animal. Ask Gemara my chazis. Dekraricha, why do you say that the long pasuk, the pasuk in Parashas Tzav, is Bechutz Lizmanos, about a thought of out of time? Ushlishi, the Parashas Kedoshim to you, and the shorter pasuk, the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim, is Chutz Limkomo, is about a thought of out of place. Ipachana, why didn't I flip it? So Gemara says, no, Mestabra Aricha Bechutz Lizmano. It makes sense that the longer pasuk, the pasuk in Parashas Tzav, is about a thought of out of time. The Gamar Avon mi Nosar, the Damile Bezav, because that pasuk mentions the word Nosar, and it makes sense that mentions the word Avon. Makes sense to link that pasuk to Nosar, which also has the word Avon, and Chutz Lizmano is like Nosar in that it both apply to Bamos, and they both are about time. So Adrabas, maybe the opposite, says the Gemara. Aricha b'Chutz Limkomo, let the longer pasuk be about Chutz Limkomo. Ushlishi the Kedoshim Tiyu b'Chutz Lizmano, let the shorter pasuk be about Chutz Lizmano. Mishum d'dami le'samche v'kamim ma'itle. And because Chutz Lizmano is closer to Nosar, we'll say that the pasuk in Kedoshim about Nosar, then the next pasuk is about Chutz Lizmano, to say that Chutz Lizmano is not like Nosar. El Amar Rava, so Rava said, let's go back to the original idea. Kulu mikra richa asyan. Really, both Chutz Lizmano and Chutz Limkomo are derived from the pasuk in Parshas Tzav. The Chsiv, it says there, now we go through every part of that pasuk. Hey, achol yeachel, b'shtei achilos ma'akas ha'medabes. Talking about two types of eatings. Echad achilas adam ve'echad achilas mizbeach. One is the eating of a person, the other is the eating of the mizbeach. Mibsar zevach shlamav. So it's comparing things to the shlamim. Ma shlamim mefaglim mispaglim, just like in shlamim. You have blood and you have the insides. Afkol mefaglim mispaglim. So too, when you have pigul, it's only with karbanos that have two things. They have blood going on the altar and they have parts that are burned. Shlishi is Chutz Lizmano. The third day is to talk about out of time thoughts. And Lo Yeratzeh will not be accepted. Karatzas Kasher, Kenartzas Pasel. It's to say that the offering has to be done totally correct, just with the problem of the wrong thoughts. Umartzas Kasher, Atshek Yivukola Maktirav. So just like to a Kasher, all the things have to be offered. Afartzas Pasel, Atshek Yivukola Maktirav. And then when it says Hamakriv, Bakravahu Nifsal, it's actually becoming disqualified in the thoughts. Feinu Nifsal Bashlishi, not that it actually was left to the third day. It's about a thought of the third day. And also it, Bezevach HaKasa Medaber, Veinu Medaber B'Kohen. It's talking about the Karban, not about the Kohen. The Kohen doesn't become disqualified from ever doing service again because he had the wrong thought. It's the Karban that becomes disqualified because there were the wrong thoughts. Rabbi Hananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakah says,